Damn, that breeze feels good. I've never actually driven a jet ski before, so hope I don't turn this thing end over end. That orange glint on the water's nice, too. Sunsets are something I've missed. A lot. I could do without the bullets darting through the water beside me, though. I'm so fucking tired, honestly. But I've got to keep moving before they catch up to me. That asshole's inside of me. I can feel him kicking and screaming. He should have thought of that before he decided to wake up the wrong ghost. I'm taking as much juice from him as I can, but I gotta focus on not crashing this thing. See, humanity had it all wrong with the way that the soul or consciousness? Yeah, I'm gonna use that word. Well, we had it all wrong with how it works and how it's related to our bodies. Consciousness is kind of like a battery, and our bodies are kind of like toys. Eventually, they stop working for one reason or another, but just like a toy, if you put a new battery in one and flip the switch or pull the string, it comes back to life. Only thing is, the old battery just sits in there. It doesn't have enough juice to make the toy work, but the new battery does. The new battery gets to play with the toy, while the old battery just sits and watches. The old batteries aren't rechargeable, but they get a little juice from the new ones. The way things used to be, they'd put you in the ground, or burn you to ashes, or what have you. Nowadays, they take some of the unlucky ones, like yours truly, and they rent us out. And I know what you're thinking. Who would want to walk around in a corpse? You'd be surprised. We aren't really corpses, though, either. The conditions upon death have to be just right, and the body has to be intact in pretty specific ways. Brain's got to be intact, for the most part, so you can probably guess what kind of people get picked for this post-mortem adventure. Terminal people. People at death's door, or their literal deathbed. No one mangled in a car crash is going to have their body taken to become a rental, but if doctors can get you on ice right after you die, and you've signed the proper paperwork, you can have that. Privilege. They don't take elderly people either. Not out of compassion or anything, just nobody who's dropping coin on a body prefers them. Even the most depraved princes of the fiscal elite. So those types of deaths are a rarer commodity. But there are enough to facilitate a market. I signed the papers because, well, frankly, we weren't doing so great. We weren't doing bad, but no way I was going to put my little girl through college on my salary. If I got sick and she lost her old man before he was an actual old man, at least she could collect those body rental checks. The assholes renting my body could hopefully put her through college. I hope she picked college. I never wanted her to have to do some kind of trade like me. It's honest work, but in today's world, running electric doesn't necessarily offer an Ivy League opportunity to your kid. Hell, I'd have settled for a community college for my kid. I don't really know how long it's been since I died. Most of the privileged elite that come and go from my body don't have to worry about time. They just go about their parties and wreck the bodies they rent. To them, it's no different than putting a cigarette out on the leather seat of a rental car just for the hell of it. A lot of times after getting kicked back on, I just watch my driver snort lines of designer drugs and pass out in a pile of girls who would do anything to get a pinch of the driver's trust fund money. Sometimes it's a pile of guys, which is weird for me, but it's certainly not the weirdest thing I've seen, or felt, being a rental. Not by a long shot. Don't get me wrong, do whatever you'd like, so long as you're not hurting anybody. Not that I have much say in it, but so long as no one is getting hurt, I'm not necessarily morally opposed to anything anyone wants to do as a renter. But I have a line. We all do. The guy, kicking and screaming inside me while I'm steering this jet ski chased by bullets, crossed that line. Before I became, well, dead, I guess, I was an electrician. I was a pretty damn good one, too. Good enough to where the boss put me on a pretty big job rewiring the hospital. Saying that it needed to be rewired would have been more than an understatement. It needed gutted and completely replaced, but there wasn't a budget for that. Boss wanted me to patch what I could and make sure there were no major fire hazards. Everything was going fine, as far as it could, until I got to the 6th floor. I don't know who they had wire that place originally, but it was a mess. It felt like I was diffusing a bomb. Red wire to blue wire, green wire to boom. Next thing I know, I'm dead. I could probably write a whole book on how it feels to die, but that's a whole other thing. The shock I got stopped my heart. Doctors came in, checked my paperwork, and put me on ice real quick. My daughter gets part of the rental fees, but the hospital gets more than their fair share. Greedy bastards. Anyway, as a rental, you don't really feel your mind or body or anything while you're in limbo. There just isn't really anything there. Think of it like blinking. That's how it feels for me. One minute I'm strapped to a table waiting for my driver's consciousness to be put back in their own body, and the next, I'm being controlled by another renter. It's weird and exhausting. Every new renter wants to show off their rented body to their friends. Not always, but usually, it's the same old thing. Show up at the party, show off my body, drugs, sex, and blackout. I don't feel everything they feel, but I feel most of it. And I see all of it. I'm just along for the ride, though. Like I said, the guy inside me now crossed the line. I don't know how I did it, but as far as I can tell, no one's ever done it before. I took control. I took my body back. Maybe it was the extra day he paid for renting me, or just sheer will. But I reclaimed the pilot's chair. I got a look at the man trapped in my head before we left the hospital. He was a rich, fat guy with nubby little hands. Not usually that harsh on people's appearances, but this guy's a real piece of work. Usually, a driver is allowed to take a body out for 2 days. Any longer than that, and the driver can get entangled with the body. Their consciousness can start to solidify in the brain of the rental. This guy worked out a deal with the body rental people and bought himself 3 days. The first day he was in me, we checked all the boxes. Drugs, sex, and everything else. But on the second day, we went out on his private yacht. This wasn't my first yacht ride, but it was different than the others. This time, we sailed out in open waters to the driver's private island. Talk about luxury. This guy was way more loaded than any of the drivers I'd had before. As soon as we got off his throne on the boat and went to shore, we were greeted by topless women holding trays of whatever drugs you can imagine. This wasn't too on the fringes of things I'd seen before. But things got pretty bad. Pretty fast. I quickly realized that this guy liked to party. Hard. He was probably renting me because his bloated body's heart couldn't handle the things he wanted to experience. Like I said, drugs are fine, sex is fine, whatever. As long as no one's getting hurt and everything is consensual, it doesn't really bother me. But then there was a problem. The deeper we got into the pleasures the island had to offer, the more off the rails things started to become. I'll spare you the nitty-gritty details, but the things this man was about to do on our third day were, well, let's just say he picked up where Jeffrey Epstein left off. Like I said, everyone's got a line. This guy thought he was going to use me to do unspeakable acts of depravity. Over my dead body, he was. Well, maybe that's a bad use of that saying here, but you get what I'm trying to say. I think the doctors are right about the entanglement. I don't actually know because that's above my pay grade, but on that third day of him renting my body, I could feel myself taking hold. A little more of the juice in his battery slipped into mine. We were headed to a room in a dark hallway when I was able to get control of most of my body. The guy escorting me down the hallway was carrying a pistol with a silencer on it. I fell to my knees as I grappled with the jerk in my head. The pistol guy probably thought I was having a seizure the way my body was flailing and jerking on the ground. He bent down to check on me just as I was taking full control. The guy inside me was weak. He was a Nepo baby on the highest level and had never seen a day of struggle in his life. After I got more juice in my battery, taking my body back was easy. I didn't let on to the fact that I'd taken it, though. The less the man with the pistol knew, the better. I grabbed the pistol, dangling from his waist. I'd never killed a man before, but killing that guy was easy. Anyone who was okay with what was going on that island deserved to die. At least in my book. No way was I going to be able to save everyone that needed saved on that island, single-handedly. I needed to get off the island and get to the police. But then, I wondered what that would even look like. A man who'd been dead for who knows how long, showing up and telling the cops what? I'm back from the grave and have a lunatic living in my head? That we just escaped an island of nightmares, and I know where they can find it? None of that would have worked. I'd like to say they'd put me in a mental health facility, but they'd probably just lock me up. And I'd already been locked up too long in my own head. Option A was off the table. I shot a few more of the assholes parading around the island like security guards. My conscience felt clean putting bullets in their heads, too. I was starting to feel like a real James Bond, if you want to know the truth. If it weren't for the occasional weekend target practice with the boys, back when I was alive, I'd probably be buried on that island, along with the driver in my head. Again, I'll spare you some of the details. Let's just say, in a blazing, heroic display of heroism, I found a small boat docked out of sight with enough fuel to get off the island and back to the mainland. There was some drunk guy, passed out in one of the passenger seats with the keys. I didn't mind throwing him overboard, hopefully the drunk bastard drowned. On the boat ride off the island is where I came up with option B. I wasn't sure if it was going to work, but I had to try. And just a little update, my jet ski's getting a little low on fuel, but god damn, that's probably the most beautiful sunset I've ever seen. Anyway, where was I? Oh yeah, option B. I think I'm going to call it Plan B, that just kind of sounds cooler. Part of Plan B was getting back to the hospital, where they put the driver's consciousness into my body. It wasn't too hard. I had a wad of cash and a little bit of time before the people on the island tracked me down. As far as they were concerned, a bunch of the people on their island had just been shot by the guy inside my head. Not me. They'd be coming after him before long. And whether I liked it or not, that would have to be part of Plan B. The plan that led to my current situation. I got out of the taxi and went into the hospital. There weren't any thugs or snipers around to blow my head off on the way in, thankfully. The doctor was surprised to see me, especially since the driver had paid an exorbitant amount of money for a 3-day rental. The doc hooked my body up to the machine that would transfer the driver's consciousness back into his body. He turned it on, and that's when I let go. Not only did I let go, I held on to the son of a bitch inside my head tighter than a toddler grips a teddy bear. The machine sucked us both out into the rich, white, nepo bajillionaire. To my relief, I was still in control. Plan B was going according to plan. It sounds easier than it was, actually. To be honest, I was tired, and for a sec I didn't know if the juice I got from him was going to be enough. But like I said, he was weak, and I won that mental wrestling match of consciousness. Maybe by the skin of my teeth, but I was pulling the strings of that girthy meat sack of a man. Actually, calling him a man does a disservice to men. He didn't deserve the body he had in the first place. What he deserved was a bullet in the head, just like the others on the island. That was something I would have been happy to arrange, but at that moment, I needed that body. I needed to pretend to be that sorry excuse for a man. Doc didn't seem to notice anything strange when the transfer was complete. It was really weird, looking into that glass and seeing my own dead body. It was like looking into a mirror, only backwards, I guess. I don't know. It's not something anyone's meant to see. What was almost weirder was looking down at my hands. His hands. The rings on his fingers felt tight, and I could feel all the weight of the bastard when we stood up. I got what I needed from the hospital, his body and all of his credentials, which gave me access to everything. The people, if you can call them that, involved with the dark, unspeakable things on that island were powerful. Other billionaires, politicians, celebrities, all the types of people you'd expect. With my newfound wealth, I wanted to blow the island up, only there were untold numbers of innocent lives that needed saving. There was another part of me that wanted to visit my family. That would have been problematic for a lot of reasons, plus, I had to stick to Plan B. My time was limited, but after using my new rental's sausage fingers to request transport to his lavish mansion, I started to type out my manifesto on his phone. His fingerprint unlocked it, and I poured out everything I'd seen on the island onto a text document. I also wrote about my experience as a dead person and a warning against post-mortem body renting. I don't know if that part of the message will have any impact on the grand scheme of things, but I had to try. During my ride to the private airport and my ride on the private jet, I wrapped up the document and included GPS coordinates to the island, which I found while sifting through some text messages and emails on the phone. Then, I started compiling a list of everyone I planned to send it to. News, police, every contact on the phone, everyone I could think of. The corruption of this whole situation runs deep. But the way I figure it is, if I turn enough heads, something is sure to happen. Those innocent people on that island will hopefully be saved, and most of the people I saw partying there will be exposed. It might not have been the best plan, but given the circumstances, it's the best I could do. A good bit of my mental energy was also used keeping the passenger in our body bound and away from the body's control panel. I was the renter. He was someone I tied up and threw in the back seat, but that still didn't stop him from squirming and kicking the back of the driver's seat while I drove. Most of the waiters, butlers, or whatever on the jet didn't seem to care much about my occasional outburst or twitching fit. They just smiled and kept bringing me cold, wet washcloths, candy bars, and drinks. I'm not gonna lie, I ate a few of the candy bars. Oh shit. This jet ski's about out of fuel, and some of those bullets are getting awfully close for comfort. I'll try to wrap this up before the sun goes down. When we landed, a limo took me to the mansion. Again, I was happy about not being blown to smithereens by unseen bounty hunters when we got there. We'd partied in that mansion, so I knew my way around. Not completely, but I knew enough of the place to make my way to the safe. There was a beep and a green light when I put my thumb on the scanner. I didn't know what was going to be inside, but wow. There was more money than I'd ever seen with my own eyes. Or, well, not in my eyes, but there was a lot of money. While I was sifting through the guy in the back seat's contacts and emails on the jet, I found someone that was just named K. From what I could tell, K was Mr. Sausage Fingers' go-to guy for discreetly transporting money. No questions asked. I wired K $3 million and told him to be ready to transport something with the absolute highest discretion. I jammed as many stacks of $100 bills into a duffel bag as I could and met him out front. The trunk of his car popped open and I put the bulging duffel bag inside. Then his window rolled down, just enough for me to slip a piece of paper that I'd written my wife's and daughter's address on. They still lived there. I looked that up too. Kay sped off, and as I walked back up to the mansion, I sent my mass text and email blast out to my list of recipients. There was already a burning fuse, but sending that message cut the fuse in half and relit it with a blowtorch. At that point, I wished I'd had more time. Hell, I wish I had more time now too, but I'm so tired and this looks like my last sunset, partner. Anyway, when I turned to close the mansion doors, I saw several black SUVs pull up to the gate out front. It's funny what you can have arranged with endless heaps of cash. I never thought I'd be texting a butler to have a jet ski packed full of C4 explosives. I told all the butlers and staff and everyone else to leave after they made sure the jet ski, my plus-sized flak jacket, and helmet were there waiting for me. Having innocent people die in the crossfire wasn't part of Plan B. You're probably asking yourself, why the hell did I go all out on this? Why all the pageantry and explosives? Well, I died once already. It wasn't really glamorous. I'm about to die again, and since I get a choice in the matter this time, I'm going out in a blaze of glory. When I go, the consciousness or soul I've got chained up in this body goes too, hopefully straight to hell. I made it out the back door of the mansion and down to the beach before the henchmen and the SUVs nabbed me. Then I took off on the jet ski. their boats and jet skis swarmed right behind me, just like I figured they would. And that will about catch you up. I'm just an electrician using the body of a portly billionaire to ride a jet ski packed with explosives into the sunset. Their vessels are circling me now. I'm out of gas, and they're pissed. I flip the visor on my helmet up and get one last unobstructed view of that sweet cotton candy skyline. A few more bullets lodge themselves in my flak jacket. Then I click the detonator. This second death feels different. I watch as the boats and jet skis around me explode into beautiful puffs of oranges and reds. It's really pretty how their colors mingle with the colors of the horizon. God damn it. I don't mean to sound like a poet, all mushy, but it really is beautiful. I don't feel tired anymore. It feels good to be dead, dead. And I guess this is where I'm supposed to say that last line that brings all this together as I float off into the sunset. The one that makes you feel all warm and fuzzy inside. Well, I don't really have that line. I pulled the ultimate rewiring job and went out like a hero this time. But I was thinking about life as I was riding that jet ski into this sunset. And at the end of the day, I don't think it matters how you go. My mother-in-law had this welcome mat I always liked back when I was alive. It said, "You only live once, but if you do it right, once is enough." So, let's just go with that. I really hope you enjoyed this one. I really just wanted to write something that was fun and adventurous and kind of just short and sweet. It was also the first story that I've done for this podcast that was in a first-person perspective. And it was I also kind of played with switching between the present and the past as the story progressed. So that was kind of both of those things were unique challenges for me that I really enjoyed. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed listening to it because I really enjoyed writing it. If you'd like to support the podcast, there are many ways you can do it. The first of which is just telling your friends and family about the podcast, letting them know what you enjoy about it. The next way is to leave a rating or review on whatever podcast streaming service you're listening on. That does really go a long way. I also have a Patreon at patreon.com/strangewhispers. There will be a link to that in this show's notes and all of the show's notes, where I have some exclusive content and early access to episodes and things like that. Thank you so much for listening. I will see y'all for the next story, and until then, keep creating.